This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get your inside pass to everything Saints football.
Jimmy Graham brings it down, and that is a touchdown, New Orleans!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
And that is going to be a touchdown again. And guess who? Mike Thomas.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Sorry, a little miscue for me. Took a time off the last episode. Jeff was running solo, but I'm back in the mix. Free agent frenzy hitting the black and gold. Made a few additions, and we're going to finally get into our second round of mock drafts as we get ready for the big day approaching. Jeff, the Saints making some moves in free agency. Nothing too sexy, but definitely one big name so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been teasing this 2.0 mock draft for like 3 weeks now. So people are going to be like, oh my God, we're finally going to find out about these incorrect picks you guys are making, yeah. Right? What's going to be funny is when I don't change my picks, it's the same thing. But yeah, we'll talk about that. Second segment, we're going to get into Steve's mock draft. Third segment, we're going to do my mock draft. But this first segment, we're going to catch up on free agency stuff. On a personal note, anyone watching this video can tell I am back. this weird wall behind me. I'm back in my parents' kitchen, you know, so it's been another whirlwind trip to Connecticut. Long story, but we don't need to get into that. But I did go to the Big East championship last Friday, Saturday, whatever day that was. And that was fun. Except what I figured out is you can sit far enough away at Madison Square Garden that it feels like you're watching from outside.
Wow.
Because it's a really weird arena. I don't know if anyone's ever been there. They can relate to this. There's this like weird catwalk that comes across and has seating on it. So if you're behind that, it kind of feels like you're sitting on a hill outside the building and just watching. Like if you've ever seen like Yankee Stadium, for example, like if you're in a high rise across the street, you can actually see the field because it's right in the middle of the city. It's kind of what it felt like because we were the very back row. And these were not cheap seats anyway, but I did get to see UConn win and the future two-time back-to-back national champions, first time since Florida. It's going to happen, even though they got kind of effed over in their bracket. So just figured I'd let everyone know.
You can talk to Kim Mulkey, too. The Lady Tigers don't have a favorable regional either.
They got hosed. Yeah. Well, like anyway, but they do get to play in Brooklyn, which that's the funny thing. Like you talk about Madison Square Garden. I don't know if anyone ever actually watched this game. There was no point because they were gonna win either way. But if you go to Madison Square Garden for a UConn game, it's like 90%. It's like you go to a Pelicans game and the percentage of fans is like, you know, 70-30, right? There was a Warriors game I went to, it was Pelicans Warriors game, where there were louder cheers for a Kevin Durant dunk than anything the Pelicans did the entire game. Whereas like this is like Madison Square Garden for a Big East championship game. It's like 90% UConn. It was actually kind of hilarious watching the Marquette fans trying to start cheers, because they would be like, "We are Marquette," but it was like two people.
Right, the Huskies just drown them out, I'm sure.
It was a good time. But anyway, back to Saints free agency. Yeah, so we talked about this. The last time we talked was like Thursday, I think. You know, that was me. So we went through some of the early signings, the Nathan Peterman, the fullbacks, right? Willie Gay. We heard a lot from Willie Gay. Since then, there have been three more signings and one reported to come signing. That one is, offensive lineman, Oli Udo. It's not official yet, so I don't want to get too much into it just in case it falls through. I don't want to waste anybody's time. But, you know, that's just a good depth signing. Offensive line, you're going to see a good bit of that going forward. The two wide receivers, Stanley Morgan, who's a special teams ace. He's a New Orleans guy. He's got like five catches his entire career. He is specifically a special teams guy. And it's not a fun pick. It's not an exciting pick. It's not a, you know, you're swimming in the shallow end of the pool here. Very much so. Like you're in like 3 foot deep water for that signing. But you need that guy, right? Because you look at the guys who have left, right? Ike Yadam to the 49ers, Zach Bond of the Eagles. That, you know, they were important pieces on the defense, but they were even more important pieces on special teams. So you got to fill those. You know, if you find a special team you like, you go get them. That's what that is with Stanley Morgan. Cedric Wilson, we're going to talk a little bit more about. More of an upside wide receiver. Guy knows the offense that Clint Kubiak's going to be bringing in. So we'll talk about that. But the big signing, defensive end, Chase Young. You know, we talked on Sports Talk on Friday, like, oh no, you rescheduled the visit. What's going on? Like, I don't know. Maybe his flight fell through. Maybe he had something he had to deal with. Not a big deal. He came in on Monday. You know, they had a big recruiting pitch, nice dinner. And they signed Chase Young 1 year, $13 million. That's a significant amount. But I do think it's the right move, is the 1 year deal. You can pay whatever you want because it's not going to hurt you beyond this year, right?
Well, that's why when you said the significant amount, I laugh when people are calling it a prove-it deal. I'm like, that's a pretty nice prove-it deal.
Well, it's a prove-it deal in the sense that it's not a multi-year deal.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But it's a significant amount, like, and it's all guaranteed. So, exactly. You know, they, you know, I think, and I think that's kind of how it works, right? Like, if you're going to give someone a 2 year, 3 year deal, you might be able to get away with a lower average value. But if you're invested in saying, hey, we want this to be a 1 year deal, and then you'll pay a little more on the front end to make that work. Now, the Saints are going to have to figure out the dollars. They had the money to clear that. They had about $18 million in cap space cleared. I'm a little confused at how the Willie Gay signing factors in, because you're at a top 51 apron right now. So anything that ranks below the top 51 contracts technically is a wash. So you're not just like whatever you pay Nathan Peterman, you're taking out of that $18 million, right? If he's on a minimum deal, then that really doesn't even eat into that $18 million as long as he's below the top 51. So like a contract like Chase Young's, yeah, that's going to bump someone down to the number 52, right? Whoever was at 51 is at 52. So that's going to take a little bit off that money. And then so you're going to offset that with a $13 million, assuming they didn't set it up with any void years or anything, which I don't know why you would. If you wanted to set up a multi-year deal to save money on the front end, you would have had it be a two-year deal with the second year not guaranteed.
Agreed.
So that's a smart move for the Saints. It's a win. It's a move that helps them win now without hamstringing them next year and beyond if it doesn't work out. And it's also a guy who has a lot of incentive to show up and show out and earn himself a much bigger deal in 2025 free agency. It's a position of need. It's one of the bigger free agent signings they have made in several years in terms of like name recognition, top end ability. You know, I think
it's wild to think this dude was the second overall pick in the 2020 draft, man. That's not far off.
He was a defensive rookie of the year that season. 7.5 sacks. He led all rookies in sacks. His second year, he had the ACL tear. And I don't think, you know, we talked to him a good bit, and not a guy who's going to have a ton to say. We established this. We're going to hear a good chunk of that interview here in a second. But I think if he was being honest, he would tell you that the ACL tear was difficult to come back from. Obviously, you missed basically an entire season. And then, you know, that's one of those injuries that's like, yeah, you come back, but you're not, you know, like you're healthy enough to play, but are you healthy enough to play at the top level of your own ability? And I don't know if he ever got there with the Commanders. They obviously traded him to the 49ers. He made some nice plays during that playoff run. He had 2.5 sacks with San Francisco. I don't think he lived up to what they were hoping he would, because otherwise he would probably still be there. Because, like, you're talking about a one-year deal. You're not talking about a 3-4-year deal that's a massive commitment. The 49ers probably could have swung a deal for this guy. They chose not to. So, I mean, you're kind of looking at it. This guy's in his fifth NFL season. You know, obviously didn't get the fifth-year option picked up. And so the Saints are hoping that he can kind of deliver. Now, I think this signing is similar to the Vikings signing Marcus Davenport.
Yes.
And that didn't work out for them. His deal was a little bit
different, yeah.
Yeah, his deal had a little bit more incentives worked into it. I think he ended up earning $11.4 million on that $13 million deal.
Wow.
Yeah, considering he played in like 4 games.
Exactly.
You know, that's a pretty significant earning. So it, you know, the baseline for what this type of deal is actually reasonable. Because, like, again, you saw this happen last year. But I do think there's probably a little bit more upside with Chase than there was with Marcus. And we'll see. But he fits what the Saints want to do. If this was the 2020 draft and they landed Chase Young, we would be doing cartwheels and backflips celebrating this incredible signing. So I think it does. It gives them, you know, if he lives up to his name and helps elevate this pass rush, and that rotation suddenly becomes like Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young, and Peyton Turner, Isaiah Foskey. That's suddenly a pretty hefty rotation with Brian Brzee, Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard in the middle. Feel good about it.
Yeah, and nice to see, obviously, Cam Jordan excited over this. And no, he was a little bit a part of the recruiting process.
Yeah, they had a recruit. You know, it's funny. So I think Jordan Schultz tweeted that Tyrann Mathieu was a part of the recruiting dinner. And then someone, I think Mike Triplett, asked Chase Young directly if Tyrann Mathieu was part of the recruiting party, and he said no.
Okay, then.
But I'm just gonna play you the clip that I put together from Chase's interview, because you'll understand once you hear it why it's like sometimes I'm just like, what is, I don't, not a lot of energy, not a lot of enthusiasm with this interview. So let's play that, and then we can come back and talk about it.
Man, just excited to be a Saint, man. You know, just excited to help this team. Grateful, you know, for the opportunity. And, you know, my plan is to make the most of it and, you know, help this team to get to that one common goal.
Chase, welcome to New Orleans. Why the Saints?
Just the culture, man. Just tradition. You know, just a Saint. It's one of those places that you know, a winning culture, and you know, that's what I wanted to you know, be around, and you know, I feel like this was a place for me.
As a former number 2 overall selection in the draft, defensive rookie of the year, obviously, you know, your play gets put under a microscope when you're a player of that caliber. What do you think is one of the bigger misconceptions about your game that you're excited to prove here in New Orleans?
Really not excited to prove anything to anybody. I'm just going to go out there and be the best Chase Young I can be.
Is there anything about this defense in particular that appealed to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have great defense, Tyron, Cam, you know, Carl, Pete, DeMario. I mean, I feel like it's weapons all over the field. You know, my goal is just going to be the best Chase Young that I can be. And, you know, I definitely, you know, plan to add a good piece to be a part of this defense.
Chase, what was kind of your process of picking your spot? Were you kind of studying everybody and trying to make sure you found the best fit for you? And if so, what made New Orleans the best fit for you?
Yeah, just the best fit is, I feel like it's very family oriented. You know, even just meeting the whole coaching staff, everybody was family oriented. You know, I can tell just the workspace, it's has great energy. Just everybody walking around the building smiling. So just feeling the energy and really just a place where, you know, I'll come to work in every day.
You know, to take a 1-year deal, I mean, do you kind of see this as a prove it deal, or how do you kind of view the deal?
Prove it. I just prove it as I'm getting another opportunity to show what I can do.
Yeah, Chase, just quick question. You know, this is a team that, for whatever reason, always seems to gravitate toward Ohio State players, whether through free agency or through the draft. Was that something you were aware of? And do you have any kind of familiarity with, you know, whether Pete, Marshawn, some of these guys, Chris, that have been here, obviously, whether as teammates or whatever?
Yeah, no, you know, Chris and Pete were my teammates. Marshawn, we still good friends. You know, I know all the Cleveland guys. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, they definitely around here, they you know, they talk about how they love Ohio State guys, and you know, I'm glad I can be a part of that.
You mentioned that family oriented feel a few times. Why was that so important to you?
Because I feel like I'm a family man. You know, I like it. You know, I like coming to work every day. I like, you know, talking to my teammates. You know, I just like that good energy throughout the atmosphere.
How familiar are you with sort of the connection between the fan base and the organization here? Obviously, the organization is very entrenched with the history of the city and things like that. Is that something you're excited about as well?
Yeah, definitely. I heard the stadium gets super loud. So I'm real excited for that.
You know,
he's one of those guys that ends sentences with so you never know when he's, yeah. Like, I don't care. People can talk however they want. I just find that confusing because I never know when their question or their answer, I should say. So see what I mean? See? but no, so like, I think what you know, he had a long day. I'm not going to hold that against him. Just a very low energy interview. And, you know, we talked about this kind of jokingly, but I don't know if it's an Ohio State thing. It does seem like a lot of, at least the more modern Ohio State players, are very low key, reserved, quiet in these interviews. Like, you go back to Mike Thomas, Marshawn. You know, Pete's not a guy. Pete Werner's got a little bit more enthusiasm, yeah, character, but even he's like still like not a Pete, not a right, big media guy. He clearly doesn't enjoy it. You know, Chris Olave's very similar. You know, it's like he'll talk to the media. He understands that it's his job as a leader in that room, but it's like it's very clear that it's like not something that he's looking forward to as he walks in the locker room. Like, great, I get to do this. But you go back to guys like Nick Vinette, Malcolm Jenkins. They're not like that. So I don't know. I just find it interesting. Either way.
No, I mentioned you too. That's why I was hoping Von Bell would come back. He was a great locker room dude.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, and I don't say that because it's going to impact how he is on the field, right? Like, Marshawn has never been a great media guy, and he's been fantastic. Mike Thomas, right, same way, right? So there's not a correlation between being really good with the media and being good on the field. It does probably have a correlation between general opinion of you as a member of the team, because the better you are with the media, the more, especially like TV, right, the more fluffy you are and the better sound bites you give, the more often you're going to get praised on the sports shows and whatnot. And if you, a lot of people don't care about that, and that's, you know, so sometimes it'll come off that way, but that doesn't mean it affects your play. That said, we're going to go into the locker room all year long. I don't anticipate we'll end up talking to Chase Young a lot. I think it'll be kind of like Jimmy Graham in that we'll end up hearing from him at the podium if he has a big game, but he's never going to be the guy that like walks into the locker room and be like, okay, who wants to talk? You know, that's James Hurst's job.
Or like Cam just, you know, holding shop in front of the TV area with all the video games and stuff they got hanging out, and he'll just prop himself up on the tabletop
for several hours. Right. But no, so you know, one thing he said, he's like, I'm just trying to be the best Chase Young I could be, whatever. Like, he's not buying into this prove it narrative, or at least he's not making that a part of his narrative. Now, we can say that all we want, and obviously that's the case. Obviously, this is a guy who didn't play well enough on his rookie deal to merit a monster deal in his first foray into free agency, right? Like, that's just a fact. We can debate it, whether he thinks whether that's going to motivate him or not. That's a fact. So he's going into this season with motivation to earn himself a bigger deal, right? That's just how it works when you're on a one-year deal. And he's accepting that. Now he's not going to say it. So that is what it is. But I think the Saints are betting on him, and he's betting on himself, and he's betting on the Saints. He talked about the energy, the atmosphere in the building. And I do think, like, people take that for granted sometimes, where, like, he's coming from the Commanders. Like, he spent time with the 49ers, obviously, but he spent the first 3+ years of his career with the Commanders. We did a whole episode about the NFLPA grades, right? You know, like, the worst team in those grades. Back-to-back years, the only 2 years they've done it were the Commanders. And that's not a coincidence. It's just a poorly run organization. It's not a winning culture. It's not a team that people walk around the building and all these smiling faces, right? They're like, man, when is Dan Snyder going to leave? Or, you know, finally.
Please, that is right.
Yeah, like there's a difference, right? And, you know, people will kind of roll their eyes. We say, oh, winning culture. But, like, you go around the league and you talk about teams that have not established a winning culture. And while the Saints have not delivered on expectations the last 2 years, we're complaining about a 9-8 season.
Yep.
Think about that. We're complaining that a 9-8 season wasn't good enough. Now, you have to have a winning culture for that to be a thing, right?
How far the organization's come from the brown bag days, right?
Well, I mean, like, look at the Cardinals. You think the Cardinals would go 9-8 and be like, oh, what a failure. Right? Like, the Jaguars went 9-8, and it's a failure because they started like 6-1. You know, right. Like, there's a lot of teams that, you know, that would kill for a 9-8 season. And that's the difference between having a winning culture and not having a winning culture. Now you got to sustain that. You got to build on that, but that's still a reputation that exists. Like, this team wins a lot of games, and, like, even 7-10, like, you could say, oh, 7-10, terrible season. That's the low watermark. Like, that's the worst season they've had since 2006.
Right. There's no 2-15 here.
Right. Like, there was 3-7-9 seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, again, like, if you have to go back to 2005 for a season they won fewer than 7 games. So, I mean, like, you can scoff at the winning culture remark, but that's true. This team is trying to go out and win games. You can argue with the way they do it. You can argue with Derek Carr as the best option. You can argue with this. You can argue with that. But you can't argue with the idea that around the NFL, teams and players look at the Saints and say, that's a team that wins a lot of games.
Yeah, I was kind of laughing a little bit when he starts talking about the family atmosphere and everything. And I'm like, ooh, the NFLPA card said, don't expect the Saints to get back to your family members if they have questions, though.
but I bet they're still better than the Commanders at that.
Right.
So we'll see. But I like the signing. I think that it's a good look for the team that they were able to convince this guy who had options to come down here and sign a contract and play for a season and see how it goes. I'm looking forward to it. And I think people are going to be in awe of his physical attributes when they watch him out at camp. Well, if you know, you're not gonna be able to watch him out at camp. But, like, you're right. Going to see clips, and because this guy is just a monster of a human being, right? He's exactly the type of player the Saints want. He's underperformed at the NFL level, but, you know, I think the traits are all still there. He's beyond the injury. He played 16 games last year, which is a really good sign, you know, because I think that's the first step you have to make. It's like, okay, can you stay healthy? Okay, now that you've proven you can stay healthy, can you deliver? And that's what Marcus wasn't able to do. Marcus got his health back in 2022. But then had half a sack, right? So we need the health and the potential. And what's good for the Saints is he's not going to be overloaded. He's not, because they have a rotation and they have quality players, he's not going to be asked to play 90% of the snaps. And I want to see him get up there and just feast on quarterbacks.
No, so, definitely excited to see him part of this rotation because – like you mentioned at the start of this, the Saints got some players, man, and it's going to be interesting to see how they just manage now all those bodies to go with it. And hopefully this helps, you know, Cam Jordan have a bounce back year too. I know he's been excited on social media about it, and that can only be good things, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the mock drafts. One thing that it does for me is it pushes defensive end way down the board in terms of need. Like, you can still draft a defensive end if a guy you love falls to you.
Sure.
But in terms of like going in the first round and being like, man, got to go get me a D end, I feel a little different about that right now. Going just really quick on Cedric Wilson, you know, I know people aren't excited about Cedric Wilson. I do think that, you know, you're talking about a guy who is a veteran in a room that you need a veteran in. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who understands the offense that you're going to be involving and in introducing. And that's big. And so here's just a couple clips from Cedric. This is on talking to Clint Kubiak.
Just the overall factor of just be a vet and make sure I need you to stay on the lookout for small things and make sure that I'm coming to work every day, being a veteran that the younger players need to see, but at the same time, showing that I can compete and that's going to bring the best out of everybody.
And I think that's important, right? Like, you needed to bring in somebody who A, could contribute, but also B, could be a veteran leader, could help, you know, some of these young guys, because you've lost that. You know, at least, you know, you had Mike Thomas in that role, and whether you feel like he was doing that job well or not,
yeah,
you need that veteran presence. And it has to be from a guy who is expected to contribute. Like, you could bring in a Keith Kirkwood and say he's our veteran and he's going to help these young guys. And that works to a point, but you also have to go out and prove it. It's like, why am I listening to you if I don't think that you are on my level and you can actually do the things that you're telling me I need to do? Right. And it's nothing against Keith Kirkwood. It's just that I think as a young player, you need to hear it from somebody who has had a lot of success. Yeah, in this league.
Absolutely.
Or at least has had a certain level of success. And, you know, you can say Cedric Wilson hasn't done a ton. He did have a 48 catch season, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns in Dallas. And that's what got him the deal in Miami.
Right.
You know, so he has proven that he can do it. And I think that's kind of the veteran you probably want. Now, I'd still like to see them add one or two more. I think you're going to wait this out and you're going to bring in Hunter Renfrow on a low level deal. I think that's what you're going to do. And if you're the Saints, you're not willing to go above a certain level with a Hunter Renfrow, but it's kind of like Jarvis Landry, right? You remember how they brought it? They waited. Everyone's like, why not bring in Jarvis Landry? Why not bring in Jarvis Landry? Like, just hold up. Just wait. Cause why? They don't need to do it now. Why would you do it now? You can wait till after June and use some of that extra cap space you can free up with the post June 1 moves. So there's really no reason. And the longer you wait, the more team friendly that deal is going to become. Because if you're still on the market in June, that means there wasn't much of a market to begin with. So I still think you're going to do that. But I do appreciate the Cedric Wilson of it all, in the sense that, you know, you're installing a new offense, and this is a significant, significant burden. And this is a guy who understands that offense, who can help communicate some of this stuff to Rashid Shaheed, to Chris Olave, to even, you know, the running backs, even Alvin Kamara and Kendre Miller, guys who also have a lot of new responsibilities. So here's a little bit more from Cedric before we move on.
I feel like this offense just fits every different type of receiver, whether you're fast, whether you're tall. It definitely opens up the game for any unique skill set. And I found I've never played in the West Coast offense until I got there. And then it took me 2 years to kind of finally get comfortable. And now I kind of know what I like to do in it.
And I think that's the big part of this. And it's the same reason, like, you look at Nathan Peterman. Why did they bring in Nathan Peterman? It wasn't because they were like, oh, blown away by the ability of this guy as a backup quarterback. It's because he can bridge the gap between Derek Carr, Andrew Janoco, because he's been a teammate with Derek Carr. He's worked with Andrew Janoco, the new quarterback's coach, right? And a big element of this offseason is going to be smoothing out that road and for getting all of this information communicated, getting the new tenets of this offense picked up as smoothly as possible. And if he can help with that in any respect, then that adds value for him, even if you never intend to put him on the field.
Yeah, obviously the only issue there is we haven't seen Peterman have any success.
But I don't need him to have success.
I hear you. I know he's kind of like the go-between.
I just, like, again, it's not about playing him.
Right.
It's about having him in the room so that your starting quarterback and even the backup that probably is going to be the backup, is that you're able to kind of communicate that, right? Like, it's not about the people. Everyone looks at this the wrong way and they say, well, why are we bringing in this low-end backup quarterback option? They don't want to challenge Derek Carr. who brings in backup quarterbacks to challenge their intended starter to begin with? First of all, like, this, that's just nonsense. Like, yeah, sure, you bring in Justin Fields to compete with Russell Wilson. You weren't bringing in, like, you know, Jacoby Brissett to compete with Tom Brady. Now, I'm not comparing Derek Carr to Tom Brady. I'm just saying, when you're bringing in a backup quarterback, it's not about, what if they have to play? Especially in this case, because you want Jake Hayner to be your backup quarterback anyway. So you're bringing in a third string quarterback. And what is the value of a third string quarterback if they never get on the field? Well, if they can help you install a new offense, there's value. And it's the same thing with Cedric.
It's funny you bring that up, because on NFL Network this morning on Good Morning Football, someone brought up, do you think Kenny Pickett can challenge Jalen Hurts for starting snaps? And my head almost snapped. I was like, what?
I don't know why the Eagles went. If you're going to bring in a backup quarterback, why not just bring in Justin Fields?
For the cheap that he got, he was available for sure.
Yeah, and like, they were like, well, the Steelers just wanted to send Justin where he wanted to go. Like, you want to go to Pittsburgh?
You sure?
Same state. So if you wanted to be in Pennsylvania, you could have gone with the Eagles. And the Eagles clearly were ready to trade for a quarterback because they traded for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe the Eagles – I think the Eagles operate in a way that's like, how can we get the fans excited? Right? I really do. I think that's how they manage player personnel.
I don't find anything about Pickett exciting.
He's from Pennsylvania. He went to Pittsburgh.
In an Eagles jersey already when he was a kid, and I'm like, whoopity-doo.
Yeah, but that's why the Steelers picked him.
Right.
If Kenny Pickett went to Hawaii, he would have never ended up in Pittsburgh. That's why they drafted him. And I think that's why the Eagles traded for him. Because they're like, oh, people are going to be so excited to go buy a Kenny Pickett jersey.
Oof.
And it's like, that's why they draft all the Georgia guys. Like, oh, people are going to get excited because they know this name. Like, it's people, everyone applauds the Eagles and Howie and how all that gets done. I think it's bullshit. I really do. I think he lucked into a lot of good players. And the way he manages draft assets is good. That's the only thing he does well.
Well, the big one for me as an Eagles fan, he missed the Justin Jefferson. That was a huge swing and miss. And right. They ended up,
Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, that was completely horrible. Obviously, they made up for that, you know, getting an A.J. Brown on the roster. But yeah, Justin Jefferson, there is no comparison in the NFL right now.
Yeah, no. And because they manage their assets the way they do, they're able to make moves in obvious situations that other teams aren't able to. Like, when they have all of these draft assets, they can be adjustable. And that's the true victory of the Eagles. Player scouting and their player personnel is not that good.
I'm happy to have Gardner Johnson back, at least.
But wait, they could have just signed him anyway.
Yeah.
Why'd they have him leave?
I don't know what happened there, right?
They paid him this year. Yep. So what's different now?
An injury, right.
Exactly. So we'll see. But all right, let's wrap up this second. We're going to come back. We're going to run through these mock drafts really quick, and then we will get out of your hair before the Saints sign somebody else, and we have to do this all again. So who dat? This is Inside Black Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We'll be right back.